to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Well, hiya, ladies of Liverpool and gents. Thanks very much for tuning in once again. Another week, another episode. And this week, I've got to introduce you to the gorgeous Jess Ellis. So you'll know Jess for playing Tegan in Hollyoaks. She's a brilliant actress and a great, great girl. Really good fun. And she's open to talk about anything. She's going to open your eyes to life after being on the telly. So, of course, Tegan, her character's dead now. And she's had to sort of rebuild herself. She's going to talk you through what happens when your character dies. You're alive, but your character's dead, and your whole life turns upside down. Get the honest truth and all the facts from the gorgeous Jess Ellis.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Jess, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me. This is so cool.
Isn't it? The view's great, isn't
it? Oh my God, like, I can't believe that you get to get that view.
I know, it's fabulous. It's fabulous.
So good. What if you were scared of heights though?
Oh, loads of people are. And in the wind, when it's swaying, you get seasick and you start vomiting in the bin.
Does it start swaying a bit?
Yeah, it's not glamorous at all.
Oh my God.
But let me talk to you about your life. So your life over the last 12 months has flipped on its head.
God, yeah, definitely.
So I remember when all the drama started for you, bless you. So talk us through your life 12 months ago. You're in Hollyoaks. Like so many girls listening to this podcast right now, you know, you had a wage coming in every month.
Yeah.
You were doing a job you really loved. And then boom, the rug gets pulled from underneath you.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so September a year ago is when I left.
Yeah.
October. So round about now is when I came off screen.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like weird. That's a weird thing as well, because you know you've already left. You can't really say anything.
Yeah.
You're still seeing people in the street. And then actually 6 months before that, so in the March, that's when I found out that I was going.
Yeah.
So I think that people like don't really realise, but obviously you're like on a year-to-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's Nick Pickard, you know, who plays Tony.
Yeah.
Everyone's on a year-to-year contract.
The whole cast get the same contract.
I mean, some people are on 6 months, but I was always on we were always on a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went up for a meeting and just was, you know, this storyline was put forward and they wanted this shock death. And also, like, it's still intertwined now on screen for a following storyline as well. Like, that's how far back it goes.
Yeah.
But I was shocked.
Well, for people who don't know, talk us through your character on Hollyoaks and how long you were there.
So I was Tegan Lomax and I was on the show for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I came in as part of a new family called the Lomaxes, and we were Steve. Kieran Richardson, who plays Steve, who's been on it for years.
Yeah.
We were brought in as his like half sisters. So we were like a new family, but like he didn't really have any family on the show. So we were like his extended family. So obviously lots of drama ensued on that. And I was a nurse in it. And like, do you know what though? Like, my baby daddy got shot dead and I got accused of it. My babies were swapped at birth and she wasn't really mine. I had cancer. I had a drug addiction.
So you had some great scripts, didn't you? You got the good bits
like,
to play out.
And do you know what? Like, 5 years is a long time and I didn't become... I loved it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it, but I didn't become an actress just to be in Hollyoaks.
No, you didn't. But when you finally have that conversation, which you're always thinking's on the cards
at some point. Every year everyone goes... Oh, this is it. I'm going to die.
But you've settled. You've moved your life.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
So I'm from I'm from Stockport.
Yeah.
But I moved to London when I was 19 and I trained at Italia Conti.
Yeah.
For 3 years. And then I stayed in London. So I was in London for about 8 years. And then in the space of a week, had to relocate to Liverpool.
Okay. So settling into Liverpool, you've got your dream job. And then someone says to you, oh, by the way, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Not in real life. Yeah. Not as bad as that. But this character that you've grown to love.
Oh my God, it was...
It's about to drop dead.
Do you know what? I still don't feel... I don't know if I fully accepted it now still. Like, there's still certain... Like,
I think it'd be so weird, so bizarre.
Because also, like, people still recognise me in the street, still ask me for pictures, still talk to me about it. And I think for a while, like... I didn't really want to watch it. I felt a little bit like Miley Cyrus on that Wrecking Ball. Like sometimes you just think like, I just want to be separated from this now.
Yeah.
But now I think I'm starting to get to a settled point with it where I can like look at it. And because I guess as an actor as well, it was the first time. And when you're in a soap, it's the only time that you've got regular work.
That's right. And we had a couple of conversations. And we went to Croatia on a hen do. Yes. Didn't we, and we had a couple of conversations. And I'd left a radio station a couple of years ago for whatever reasons. You know, it's not easy. It's just not easy. But sometimes you're pushed into certain decisions and you've got to do what's right for your own mental health. So you make a decision, or for you, a decision is made.
Yeah.
And you have to rebuild at a time when you can feel pretty low, can't you?
Oh, my God. I've always been quite a positive person, but I will say that this has been the hardest, like, year and a half of my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's been really hard, mentally challenging.
I bet.
You know, me and Michael had been together, about 6-7 months when he found out, but also, like, that was quite straining for him. Like, I was getting upset and also just freaking out. Like, what do I do?
Well,
like,
we were on that hen do, and every time we'd had so much to drink, we'd end up in this conversation.
Yeah.
And at the same time, which is the most weird thing about it, while we're having these conversations, we're in Croatia and people from all around the world are going, "You're the Gale of Hollyoaks."
Yeah.
So on one hand, you're dealing with the high, shaking hands and smiley face.
Yeah.
But inside, you don't know what's going to happen next. You've got rent to pay. You've
got
bills coming
out. And people also think that we're like millionaires and we live in cribs. And let me just tell you right now, that is not the case.
No, gone are those days when people in the media or people on telly are paid a massive wage.
Yeah, like, do you know what? I'm not, you know, it was a well-paid job sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all dependent on how many episodes you're in. And, you know, sometimes it could be great, sometimes it couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, and also, like, I went to drama school. I had student loan to pay off.
Yeah.
I had, you know, it's not the life that I think people think, because you see these fancy glitzy things on, you know, Instagram and stuff
soap
like that.
Soap awards and free clothes and nights out, bottles of champagne.
Yeah, and it's not like that. No. It's, yes, we go to these nice award dues, but most of the time they're quite boring. And also, you know, you've just got a dress and work paid for your hair and makeup. It's, you know, it's not like that. And also, I think the thing that I struggled with was that I've always been a jobbing actress, but before I wasn't known. So I would jump straight back behind the bar. I would be straight back into my nanny inn.
Yeah.
Like, I can't jump in a bar in Liverpool.
Because,
like,
people know,
you know, exactly. They'd be thinking I was doing a PA. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh no, I'm just working at, you know, I'd love to work at the Rose and Mosley, which is my local.
Yeah.
I probably could get away with it there, but I couldn't, it wouldn't be good for my mental health as well. People being like, why are you behind a bar?
And still calling you Tegan?
Tegan, yeah. Jeez, I need another name. I want another name to be shouted
at. So people can call you something else.
Definitely.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So moving to Liverpool. Did it come with any hurdles? Did you settle right in? What did you love and hate about the city when you first moved here?
So the only, like, experience I've had of Liverpool before was nights out. So, like, when I was, God, when we were, like, 18, 19, because we lived in Stockport, we used to just get a minibus on a night out back when it was cheap. And we used to go for quite a few. I think I spent, was it my 20s? Maybe it was like my 19th birthday here. I can't remember.
Oh, wow.
So, but that was the only, like, my mum and dad don't drive. So, like, if we ever got trains anywhere, it was like to Blackpool. I don't really remember much of Liverpool.
Yeah. So you come here wide eyed with your suitcase.
Yeah.
So fresh off the train.
Yeah. So we came and because we relocated, because I was relocating from London, we got put in a hotel for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So I lived on, it used to be called the Alicia.
Oh, I got married in the Alicia.
Did you?
Yes, years and years and years ago.
It's just off on Sefton Park.
That's right, yeah. So I had a snow machine on top of that conservatory.
Oh my God.
And the Philharmonic Orchestra.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Yes, and that was on New Year's Eve many years ago. Oh, we were only kids. Me and Jane were so young when we got married. We were only kids, and it just seemed like a ball. So we stayed there for the weekend, all the family. We had the wedding, we had
That's
the after
cool.
party. I know, it was fab. And we actually took the kids back to the Alicia so that they could stay over and see and sit on the thrones that they have, you know, for the wedding.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And get pictures of my little boy and girl on those. So, God, I love that place. So you're all settled in there?
So we got 6 weeks there, but also it's quite lucky, actually, because my parents lived in Stockport.
Yeah.
And also at this time as well, I didn't actually drive because I'd lived in London for so long, I didn't need to.
You don't drive in London.
And I went so young. So I did have it for 6 weeks, but, like, it's quite sporadic when you first start. You might be in once. So I got to go back home a little bit, but obviously after 6 weeks, you've got to find somewhere. And I remember, like, it's so weird now. Like, so I live in Mosley Hill.
Yeah.
And I've it's my 6 year. It was my 6 year anniversary the other day of my house. Lived in the same house. Live off Rose Lane. And
your doggies were born here. Yeah, they're born and raised
exactly
in Mosley Hill.
In Mosley Hill. But I just remember because I was getting so many taxis to and from. And taxi drivers in Liverpool love a chat.
Yeah.
Love a chat. And I was just asking them, and a guy that I know called Nathan, who's an actor that's from Liverpool, they were telling me postcodes right. of where to live. And a lot of people live around Sefton Park. Anyway, I was sat at my mum and dad's just Googling postcodes, and L18 was one that was told. And then this front door came up that I just fell in love with. Yeah. It was just a front door. And I basically went to see it, and I was the first person, then someone else went to see it and said they were going to get it, and then it was a race to who can get the deposit there.
Yeah.
And so you settled in there,
and that's been your little hub.
And I love it, and I absolutely love Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I prefer it to Manchester, sorry. I am.
Soz about you, Manny.
Soz about you. I know that I'm from there, but I've not lived there since I was 19. But I just like the fact that it's like, I just feel like it's a bit cooler, it's a bit prettier, it's more compact. Like,
you've been welcomed with open arms, haven't you,
oh,
though?
Oh, God. I do feel like an honorary
you are.
Scouser.
You're an adopted Scouser, that's what you are. We've welcomed you massively.
Oh.
And you've got this massive gang of mates now, and our mates all entwined, don't
yeah.
they? And they adore you. And we'd all be gutted if you moved out of Liverpool now for a job.
I know. Well, the thing is, like, I've made that decision. You know, I left a year ago. The, you know, obviously I've got my friends and everything, but there is no career thing keeping me here. Michael's job's here. And we have discussed, you know, going back to London and stuff, but a lot of stuff's coming down here. And
yeah.
it's weird because when I first moved here, I remember, like, I moved here and there was, like, a part of, like, Hollyoaks was, like, 20 or 21 or something. And then I got back home and I were, it was, like, a really good night, and then the next day was, like, hangover day. But, like, I didn't know anyone that well then.
Yeah.
And that's the only time that I felt alone in Liverpool. I was yeah. I, like, rang my friends in London, was like, normally everyone would be at my house doing this, yeah. like, hangover day, but now I can't get people out of my house. So, so I guess, yeah.
One time in 6 years isn't bad, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, but I do love it. I love Liverpool.
Good, good, good. So Hollyoaks done. We've closed
yeah,
that chapter.
Yeah.
Never say never, because
I mean,
you don't know.
They always have ghosts there, so.
Yeah, fingers crossed. They bring you back as some kind of poltergeist.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. I would say that's definitely sure.
What about theatre for you?
I love theatre.
Got so many gorgeous theatres to see and so many productions.
Oh my God, theatre is my background. Like, before I did Hollyoaks, I'd done, like, a few episodes of Doctors, a few episodes of EastEnders, but everything else was theatre. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of stuff with the Old Vic New Voices. I went to New York with them, did 24-hour plays. I spent a summer season in Keswick doing 3 plays.
Sounds fabulous.
Which was great. But yeah, honestly, like, I would love to get back into theatre.
Yeah.
I've actually just changed agents after 10 years.
That's always exciting. New headshots, new agents.
Yeah, I've just, like, yeah, I've just made the jump. Like, we've been together for 10 years mm-hmm. and then I've just gone to a new agent. So, yeah, things are quite exciting at the moment.
So you never know. You could be in, like, some Hollywood film and I'll be bragging that I had you on my podcast.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, we've been talking. I was talking to my agent this morning and it's just really nice to have a new, fresh pair of eyes. And
pushing you into different arenas.
Yeah, definitely.
Who knows what's next? The world's your oyster, babe.
I know.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
We mentioned podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got a bit of a belter on yourself, haven't you, Jess?
I do have a podcast called Dilemmas with Jess Ellis.
So talk us through the concept.
So basically, it is me and a guest, and they're from my nice little famous book of friends.
Lovely. So they're all celebrities that you have on?
They're all celebrities.
And do we get to know, like, the proper ins and outs of
them?
Well,
this is my concept. So basically, dilemmas is where people send in their dilemmas. So it can be, like, day-to-day dilemmas. It can be, like, silly ones, or it can be, like, you know, I hate my boyfriend's mum.
Yeah.
What can I do? Or, like, we had a really good one. We did one with Jake Quickenden where someone was like, I'm going on holiday for the first time with my boyfriend. How do I poo? Do you know what I mean? Like, it can be like that.
Yeah.
But the way that I look at it is, with the guest, by asking them those questions and them revealing their answers says so much about them, rather than, like, what was your favourite thing about this? Do you know what I mean? Which is fine of interviewing, but I just think you get to see the real person, because you're like, oh, the way that you answered that question.
And it's on the spot, isn't it? So you speak your truth on the spot.
Yeah, and people can be, like, savage and you're like, whoa, I didn't think you would be like that.
Yeah, let me give you one then. Yeah. So I keep falling off the wagon.
I try every single diet there is in the world. I even tried to give up coffee. I managed 2.5 weeks max.
Without coffee?
I had one coffee and I haven't stopped for 24 hours. I'm literally getting up in the middle of the night and have another cup of coffee. Any advice for people like me who can't help but jump on a bandwagon?
I mean, you're asking the wrong person here because I literally just think, like, if you want something, have it. I just think if you set, it's like, I think this stems from being a child. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone says to you, don't do this or don't do that, you want it more.
True.
Like, my mum was always really good with, like, she would let me have sweets whenever I wanted.
Yeah.
But it was my fault if I felt sick and it was my fault if I couldn't eat my tea. And I, compared to, like, all my grown-up friends, like, with things like sweets and treats and that, I've got such a take-it-or-leave-it attitude with them. Whereas some of my other friends, who were in better shape than me or whatever, can't do it because they can't have one biscuit. They're obsessed.
You've hit a nerve here because my mum says that about my kids. Because I am, believe it or not, you know, quite good at not giving them sweets and stuff like that, especially my husband, more so than me, really.
Yeah.
And my mum says when she has the kids, oh, they can't get enough. All they want to do is go to the shop and have sweets and shit. It's because you're so strict with them with the sweets. The minute they get to me mum, they're like, come on, Nan,
I could tell that when I went to drama school, I could tell that the people that weren't a lot, that hadn't really been out drinking before or whatever.
Yeah, lived like, a sheltered life.
Yeah, they were just going mental. Yeah. Whereas I was like, oh.
I'm used to this.
Yeah, I've been on the bottle since I was 13. No. So I would just say, like, everything in moderation.
Oh, I know, I can't do moderation though, Jess.
I've got no idea about moderation. Yeah, I just say like, absolute YOLO.
Just YOLO. You heard it from Jess herself. Everyone, go forth and conquer. Eat as much sweets as you can get your hands on. Drink till you can't stand up. Just live your best life.
Exactly. I mean, that's you know, a quote from me on the NHS website. So,
yeah. Jess, tell us again what we need to do to find your podcast. How do we find it?
So it's on all of the podcast apps like Spotify, Google Play, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of our socials are at Dilemmas Jess on Instagram and Twitter. And also you can send in your dilemmas. You slide into our DMs.
Fabulous.
And send in dilemmas. We've also got a website now. Called I can't remember it. It's on my socials. But that's got like, we play a game called Double Dares and it's got like a thing where you, like, you can buy the Double Dares and play along with us.
Get fully involved then, can't you?
Yeah. So
there you go. Follow me, little mate there. Get involved in her podcast as well. Subscribe. Get those numbers up.
Oh my God, subscribe, rate and review. I literally feel like I've said that in my sleep.
Hashtag rate and review. But it does make a difference.
Oh yeah,
it?
Definitely. And you know, I actually love reading the reviews.
Yeah, same. So comment on this one about me and Jess. Comment on Jess's. Get involved. Yeah. We're all one big team here. Girls supporting girls.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Jess. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back next week with another ep.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.